New statistics show that nearly half of all American adults are living with some kind of cardiovascular disease. According to the American Heart Association, the increase is due to a lower threshold for what constitutes high blood pressure or hypertension. That condition can lead to a variety of health problems like heart attacks, heart failure, and strokes. Dr. Ivor Benjamin is the director of the Cardiovascular Center at the Medical College of Wisconsin, and he's also the volunteer president of the American Heart Association. Dr. Benjamin, welcome to Central Time.
It's good to be with you.
My understanding is that recently the guidelines for defining high blood pressure were revised. What was changed?
Well, I think most, first of all, thank you very much for inviting me to speak about an extremely important topic for all of our communities. Many of us are familiar with previous blood pressure guidelines of 140 over 90 as being hypertensive, or at least that number would be one in which your provider may take interventions. But based on recent science and recent evidence, the American Heart Association has revised the guidelines for treating hypertension or high blood pressure based on a blood pressure of 130 over 80. What this therefore means is that at that blood pressure, you and your provider will be having conversations around diet and exercise, but we know that above that blood pressure, interventions, including medications, will reduce one's risks for heart attacks, strokes, and heart failure. So that's the reason for this revision.
So it seems that many of our listeners may be in the situation where they've been going to their doctor for many years, not hearing that they have high blood pressure, and now their doctor is saying, well, you now qualify as having high blood pressure. How serious is this for people who might now fall into the category of having hypertension?
Fortunately, we know that there are many approaches that are available for treating high blood pressure. So the first item is to be aware. If your blood pressure, after multiple readings, on average, is above 130 over 80, and, by the way, you're doing all the appropriate things. No added salt to the diet. Regular exercise, maybe 30 minutes of brisk walking per day. What I tell my patients is that I'm looking for progress, not perfection. So if you do that six times, you know, in a particular week, you're well over the 150 minutes of active exercise. Some people might not be able to exercise. They will actually have other ways. But the point here is that when your blood pressure is above 130 over 80, it says take action. Take action to prevent a heart attack. Take action to prevent a stroke. Take action, of course, to prevent heart failure. And I think working with your provider and equipped with knowledge, one is able to do many things. And this is quite prevalent. And so as I pointed out to you, based on these new guidelines, the American Heart Association can say that from the point of view of cardiovascular disease, 48% of adult Americans have some kind of cardiovascular disease, and the predominant contributor to that is high blood pressure or hypertension.
And can you briefly tell us, how does having higher blood pressure than is healthy directly affect our heart and how well our heart works?
Well, so first and foremost, the heart is a muscle pump, and it's attempting to pump your cardiac output to all regions of the body. When the heart is now working against a higher pressure, it means that it's increasing the demand that's being placed on that muscle pump. It responds a number of ways. It might be able to compensate. So, for example, if you were able to walk up a flight of stairs, you would like your heart rate to increase, and you would like the amount of blood that's being pumped. You would like that to happen. That's a good thing. But imagine now if your heart, even when you're resting, has this much higher pressure. It means that demands on the heart really are exceeding the potential supplies. That might contribute to clogging of the arteries, and it might also even contribute to where the muscle itself begins to fail. Now, we use this term heart failure. It's a little bit of an awkward, you know, we're not telling people that they're a failure. It just simply means that there is an inability of the heart to meet the peripheral demands of the body. And that's why we call that condition heart failure. And of course, again, if something is not right, it's best to always speak with your provider. It might be a nurse practitioner, it might be a doctor. But oftentimes, you know, just family members are looking around and they're able to see that, Uncle Tom isn't quite right. Let's get this checked out.
Dr. Ivor Benjamin is the director of the Cardiovascular Center at the Medical College of Wisconsin. He's also volunteer president of the American Heart Association. And we're talking about the fact that nearly 50% of U.S. adults are now considered to have some form of heart disease. Now, Dr. Benjamin, I can imagine especially people who before did not fall into that high blood pressure category and now do because of the revised guidelines, they might say, you know, I feel fine. I don't think I have this. What should we know about being able to tell if we can that we might be at risk of heart disease?
Excellent question. You know, one of the real challenges that we have is to increase our awareness. Hypertension is also sometimes called the silent killer. One of the things that happens, for example, is that high blood pressure can increase one's susceptibility or the chances of having a stroke. And there's a condition that's called atrial fibrillation. You know, sometimes you might be on TV and you hear it's sometimes referred to as AFib. Well, one of the biggest risk factors for AFib, well, there are two of them. One is age and the other is hypertension. Oftentimes, the very first time that people are aware that they actually have AFib is when they have a stroke. We really would like to increase awareness of one blood pressure. And here is really the kicker. It's really so simple to measure your blood pressure. There are these automated blood pressure cuffs that you can actually have. Now, I'm not here trying to promote that this is something, but, you know, if you go down to the Walgreens and while you're waiting perhaps for your prescription to be filled or wherever, take your blood pressure. Know what that is. So I like to tell my patients the same way that you know your age, you need to know what your cholesterol is, you need to know what your blood pressure is. And equipped with knowledge and equipped with that awareness, then you can do something about modifying diet, increasing one's exercise, as well as, of course, being quite adherent with taking medications. So awareness is the key.
And Dr. Benjamin, before we let you go, I'm sure it can be kind of overwhelming to people if they find out that this is something they're at risk for. They might not know where to start. You said that you tell your patients it's about progress, not perfection. What would be the best first step that someone could take to increase their heart health?
I would say the first thing that you should do is to speak with a family member. Because oftentimes, just to take a medication, you know, there's so many stresses in people's lives, they may forget. But if you have an otherwise loving family member who is concerned about your health, this is not something to be ashamed of. This is something that you can do in collaboration with others. Because oftentimes, you know, blood pressure can actually run in families. So it's a good way of increasing, if you will, the health literacy of that family. And so one of the things that we would love to be able to do is to have a family member who can basically measure blood pressure. But as I mentioned, you can actually have one of these automated blood pressure cuffs. And here's something else that I also suggest to my patients. Keep a diary. You should be able to just measure your heart rate and keep your blood pressure, because oftentimes that blood pressure is much more informative when you sit with your provider in the office. There's something that we call the white coat syndrome. And what that means is that you're going to see the doctor and all of a sudden you're a little bit anxious and so forth. And while you're in the doctor's office, your blood pressure is off the charts. But if you're able to keep a diary and you know what your blood pressure is, wow, that's much, much more reassuring, because that says that's what your blood pressure represents in your normal daily activities. Does that help?
It does. Thank you so much for spending time with us, Dr. Benjamin, and for sharing the information.
You're quite welcome. Have a wonderful day.
Dr. Ivor Benjamin is the director of the Cardiovascular Center at the Medical College of Wisconsin and also the volunteer president of the American Heart Association. He joined us to discuss an American Heart Association report that says almost half of all U.S. adults have some type of cardiovascular disease and the role that high blood pressure plays.